Everything's against me and it's got me down. If I jumped in the river, I would probably drown. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive. These shabby shoes I'm wearing all the time, they're full of holes and nails. Brother, if I stepped on a worn-out dime, I bet a nickel I could tell you if it was head or tail.
Lemon face.
Tron ears. Right.
What video game?
It's Naughty Dog. They're doing a space, like free roam space game. The guys did Last of Us. So they're doing a space game.
Is it going to have DEI hires in it?
100%. The uproar is about is the DEI main character.
Oh my god!
All of the NPCs are just going to be Idris Elba.
The Assassin's Creed shit that's been going on the last like couple weeks is unbelievable, man.
Yeah.
You heard about this?
Is this the ninjas?
Yeah.
The black.
I haven't heard about the controversy, but I saw the.
Okay, well, but before we talk about that controversy. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Gozer Podcast, episode 434. This is Jorge.
This is Jacob.
This is. Hold on just a second. Our core is madness. The prime directive is murder. What Darwin was too polite to say, my friends, is that we came to rule the earth not because we were the smartest or even the meanest, but because we have always been the craziest, most murderous motherfuckers in the jungle. That is Stephen King from a little book called Cell.
It's a good bit.
It's a good bit in the book. The movie, not so much.
Not so much, man.
This is Ree. We reviewed that film, Cell.
We did. We talked about Cell.
On Patreon.
A little bit about the book, too, also.
It went from Cell into a half-hour rant about Microsoft Teams.
Which actually works out pretty
well.
Because that's the real Cell.
If my coworkers happen to join Patreon and then also happen to listen to this pre-show, understand that this is just a bit that I'm doing.
Yes. And then the bit I do at work is also a bit. And the bit I do at home is also a bit.
It's just bit on bit on bit on bit. It's
a copy of a copy.
Until you can't really figure out who you are. And you're just kind of like the physical machinations of your life are just that.
We're just imagination of ourselves. Oh! Here's Tom with the weather.
Oh, Bill Hicks, dude.
I'm going to watch it. Dude, I tried to show Sophia Bill Hicks like 3 years ago.
She's not feeling it.
Dude, she doesn't feel stand-up. And that fucks me over.
That's how Courtney is. She doesn't get it that much, really. Yeah.
Maybe it's because I'm showing her like Bill Burr and George Carlin and Bill Hicks. And she's all, how the fuck do I want to watch this guy talk?
Well, yeah. And also Bill Hicks is a bit of a tough pill.
I love it.
Me too.
Yeah. So turn this off. Go listen to Bill Hicks. Go watch, all the YouTube videos.
Yeah.
Have you ever listened to that guy?
That's the guy who shakes, right? Or he turns around? No, this is a guy who doesn't face the audience.
Oh, sorry, what?
No, he's good. He's
no, Bill bit. Hicks was he was kind of like
he's another dead hero.
He was Leary before Leary was Leary. Dennis Leary kind of stole his whole identity from Bill Hicks.
Oh, Bill Hicks. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right, good.
He's got the goods.
I listen to one of his specials.
He does have the fucking goods, man.
If you want to hear us review Cell and other stuff and get exclusive content, the episode's early. Patreon.com/WhoGoesThere Podcast is where you go. And then there's different tiers, which a previous co-founder named Matt, he named them really cleverly, and I don't fucking know the names of the tiers.
Mm. But, neither do I.
I mean, I should because I've been handling some of this.
I should know too, but I don't. Yeah, you know how this goes. You've heard of Patreon before. It's 2025, and it helps us continue doing the show.
Cool. Yeah. So we were talking briefly about we touched video games a little bit, and then I was going to talk about the Assassin's Creed stuff.
Yes,
you hadn't heard anything about this?
No.
So Assassin's Creed, the newest one, came out. What's it called? Revelations.
Nah, that would be like
Shadowlands, whatever the fuck. But people were already pretty pissed off about this thing because it has both a woman and also a black guy protagonist.
Whoa, fuck. Why would they do that, dude?
Well, because there is a historical character. There's a historical person who was a an African American samurai.
You want me to play the anti-DEI guy?
Yeah, please.
So let me get this. So there's one historical character, and they make the whole game fucking revolve around that one guy.
Shh.
Of course.
DEI, dude.
Globalist
DEIs. But anywho, just go look at it on the internet. It's fantastic.
Yeah, a lot of uproar about it, but yeah,
a lot of upset white folk.
It's historical fiction, and people are upset about the fiction.
It's a fucking video game about you being transported into the past.
Yeah, it's literally science fiction. It's technically a futuristic sci-fi game.
Yeah, fuck off.
Hideki Kamiya comments on Assassin's Creed Shadows controversies. I would assume he's one of the head developers or creators.
No, he's just a Japanese guy they interviewed.
Oh, and he created Okami and Bayonetta.
So he's an authority voice.
Wow.
I haven't been a supporter of Ubisoft, that whole thing. Yeah. They fucking suck.
This whole controversy has made me a little bit of a Ubisoft, like, I go, whoever they hired for the marketing team or the social media team, that dude fucks.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and they were, like, fucking clapping back at Elon Musk and shit. Yeah.
What?
Yeah, dude, it's crazy.
I like it.
Yeah, like, Elon Musk took a shot at Hassan, and then Hassan, you know, clapped back and blah, 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 and the whole thing goes on and on forever till we die.
Yeah.
That's dope.
Yeah.
It's a good time to be living in.
Well, speaking
right of, before the end.
Speaking of which, so my both of my kids, but one of my kids in particular, my son, is a huge fan of Imagine Dragons. Imagine that. Right?
There's a movie. Oh fuck, hell yeah,
dude, it's happening.
So check this out.
Oh my god.
So I saw a couple weeks back that they released a in theaters movie of their Hollywood Bowl performance from last year. And I go, well, like, I'll take Micah. He's into it. Like, what's the worst that could happen? Fuck, man. That band is the fucking worst. They are the fucking worst. Straight up, there is no mincing words. But motherfucker, do they got like when I'm like I'm in the theater and we went to watch this thing and I'm all believer, because my son is all jacked up about it and I couldn't believe it, bro. I was like, what the fuck is going on here, man? It's crazy. And I found out that two of those guys are LDS.
I was about to tell you. And they're Vegas Mormons,
which is the worst.
Which is me.
But I also found out two other little tidbits.
Well, I'm not Mormon anymore, fuckers. Sorry.
One of them left the church because he didn't want to raise his kids in the church. And then I found out that the bassist is actually a huge trans ally, which was kind of fucking cool.
Well, like most stuff, the church is undergoing a lot of... I have a cousin who's openly gay, and he's trying to...
Oh, fuck him.
Well, fuck him for trying to do both.
Oh,
no,
yeah.
No, but they're trying to embrace the situation as much as they can, but the literature is pretty clear and pretty condemnatory on this stuff. And they're one of the LDS church has been one of the huge things, engines behind against gay marriage in the country and all sorts of stuff. And it's also a church that is rife, rampant with fucking homosexuality and closeted homosexuality, which, you know, and also molestation like Catholicism. Because, so maybe stop this. But yeah, this guy's a big advocate, actually.
The
singer.
Well, both are now.
Well, the singer, he's still considering himself, another Vegas Mormon is the fucking Brandon Flowers guy from The Killers.
Yeah.
You know, and he says he sins and smokes Marlboro Lights and drinks Smirnoff Ice.
Oh.
So, but, anyway, yeah, they're a terrible band.
The music is fucking atrocious, dude.
Look at him.
No, look at him with his shirt off. That's what you really need
he's
to
find. Buff, huh?
He's dude, he's, he was he's, jacked. He's pretty like when he lifts up his arms, motherfucker has wings. Yeah. Like this this muscle back here, what is a lat? Is that what that is? Lat?
Yeah.
It's a lat. It fucking they pop out and I go, motherfucker, no wonder people like this band.
That's dope.
But anywho, my son had a great time.
So, as of 2024, Reynolds was no longer a practicing member of the LDS Church. There you go. He went on a mission and everything.
Yeah, he did the whole thing.
Yeah.
I read a lot about them last night because I was like, well, like how bad could, like, because you could tell in the lyrics he's talking about a little bit about faith, a little bit about like believing, obviously.
Believer!
The exorcist believer, dude.
But I was reading up on him and because the bassist actually like he, like his microphone is like a LGBT flag and then like one of his bass guitars is like very clearly the trans flag and the whole deal. So I go, Michael, what the fuck's like, what's going on with these motherfuckers?
Yeah.
I mean, they're letting one of the dudes be openly an open ally for trans rights on this thing. So I can't imagine all of them feel shitty about it, right? Like what?
Of course not. No. That doesn't mean the band's good though, unfortunately.
No, obviously.
It's kind of like the reverse of Pantera, you know what I mean? Where the ethos is poor, but the music rocks ass. No, I'm just
kidding. I disagree, but...
I know you do. But, like, dude, like, I'm broken? Come on, dude.
Damn.
You got to give it to Phil for that song.
Well, how about we get to some movies?
Huh?
How about we get to some movies?
Let's talk about Pantera, dude. Oh. They're from Texas, dude. Never mind. Movies. Well, so you went and saw Imagine Dragons.
Yeah, I sure did. I sure did.
I saw Hans Zimmer live, the movie.
Oh, the same then.
Oh, I was lucky enough to see him here in San Diego at SDSU, like circa 2016.
That's crazy.
And it fucking blew my mind.
Holy shit.
And yeah, of course, you know, Interstellar, Inception, The Dark Knight. Gladiator.
Did he do what's that song from Inception? The fucking
Time?
No, the one when they're in the
Dream is Collapsing?
No, it's like a chase sequence.
They open with that.
Oh no way.
On this version.
Yeah.
Cause now this is post Dune and everything. Yeah. So now they had Dune. They open with Mombasa from Inception.
Mombasa, that's what it was.
Yeah. It was fucking incredible. And then they were showing it at only a few theaters and Sophia was like not really feeling like going. And then she got there and cried like four times during the thing, which was dope. Like the Gladiator shit was fucking incredible, dude. A great fucking.
It was experience. Just a good set list, like perfectly, just the chemistry of the songs, and yeah.
Yeah, they had some shit in between where it's 2.5 hours, and they had these little interview sections in between where he awkwardly has someone like a buddy of his come and talk to him about him. Hell yeah. Yeah, dude. So some of those went well and some of them felt very forced. Like Billie Eilish and her brother felt pretty forced. Timothée Chalamet came there and fucking, dude, that guy, like, he knows his shit. He's talking about Maurice Jarre's score from Lawrence of Arabia.
Something about him, you don't know if, like, he is doing just all the research beforehand. Like, he's, like, that talented and, like, trained, or he really is, like, that fucking chill.
I think it's both.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Denis Villeneuve showed up with his wife and they talked about all sorts of stuff. And then of course the motherfucker, out of nowhere, Dunkirk. They did Dunkirk, the fucking supermarine part, which was fucking balls. That's pretty... only like 3 minutes and it was just like, and then like the next interview section was Nolan. And I'm just like fanboying.
Yeah.
Like a fucking teenage girl in 1985 who sees Dave Gahan, you know? I'm just like, oh my God.
You like think, it's not live though, right?
No. No, but it was great. It was, he was the only.
Notice me, senpai.
Yeah, he was the only one talking to him in these forced interview things where he was real assertive with Hans. Like he was like saying, because we got backstory about Interstellar. When he gave Hans Zimmer Interstellar, he didn't give him the script. He didn't even tell him it involved space. He told him what it involved thematically,
like love and shit.
And fathers and daughters. And because he wanted him to write real subjectively instead of like from the outward to the inner part.
Yeah.
Which is just fucking incredible. And they played Interstellar. And this is the show is in Dubai, which is fucking Jesus Christ. Like that city And that shit all popped up within the last 40 years.
Yeah.
But anyway, dude, it's fucking, it was incredible. And that was one where you had to pay for it. But yeah, dude, the tickets to see him live now, they fucking are like $500, $400.
Fuck.
Like,
well, shit.
It was great. NASA 2.
Yeah, I saw NASA 1. I saw it streaming somewhere. I forgot where it was, but I was tempted to check it out.
This is the highest grossing Chinese film ever, the highest grossing animated film in the world ever, and now the sixth or seventh highest grossing film worldwide, period, ever. If you go on Box Office Mojo, that's not accounted for because this is almost entirely in Chinese currency. Mm-hmm. But it's made over $2 billion, the equivalent of $2 billion. And so I got fucking curious about, you know, we're familiar with Japanese animation. What's with this Chinese animation thing? And it digs heavy into Chinese mythology and all this stuff. I knew we hadn't seen the first movie. It's 2.5 hours. This shit was fucking monstrous, dude. Like, the shit was amazing.
It was good.
It was fucking amazing. Like, and it's like, the choreography is like some of the best anime you've ever seen, except it's CGI. So yeah, they're rendered like, you know, computer generated characters, not like the 2D anime characters. And it's kind of, given the stories like subtext and all that, it's kind of surprising that China, the government, is really championing it. Mm-hmm. But I think they've learned the lesson that you can get people, you can have cultural ascendance like with films. Dude, like, I'd fucking recommend that movie.
Fuck. It's one of the craziest, highest grossing animated films ever that
over $2 billion.
That this entire country has completely slept on.
Yeah, it's made like $40 million here. Mm. But
which is kind of,
which is not too bad.
Yeah. It's still not too bad.
Yeah, that is crazy.
And the theater was pretty packed because there's only like two. It's only Fashion Valley and La Jolla UTC. That UTC is where I saw the Hans Zimmer things, where I saw RRR.
Oh, UTC is my go-to now. Yeah. I have not stepped a foot in La Jolla since.
Oh, fuck that other one.
Now that they got the everything's recliners at UTC. Everything's got the seat warmers. Yeah. Shit's good.
This is our niche fucking
you guys fuck local with, AMC you guys review. Fuck with the UTC one?
Now, yeah, now that they redid it, yeah.
Especially because it's the best one to go to for foreign films like this.
Now it's like
specialty stuff.
That's where I go for anything that's non-premium because their standard is already premium. Because
shit, I mean, because when I think about it, I'm like, if I'm going to go to UTC, I'll go to the Regal that's right there.
No, please, no.
Why?
Oh, Mira Mesa?
Yeah.
Oh, it's great.
That's what I'm saying.
It's great. No, but this.
But for the AMC thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, man. Like, dude, like. This shit,
that Regal Theater, fuck.
This shit was mind-blowing. Yeah. The story was mind-blowing. It's 2.5 hours, and we were thoroughly entertained. And fucking, for what it's worth, both of us cried again. So, damn. I don't know. That blew my mind. Rewatch Tropic Thunder. I didn't talk about it last time you mentioned it. Mississippi Burning. With all this political stuff going on, I'd never seen this movie. Willem Dafoe, Gene Hackman just died. So, yeah, sure, it was like, let's watch some Gene Hackman stuff. It's Alan Parker, guy who directed Pink Floyd's The Wall. He also did Angel Heart, which I fucking love. And Jorge and Matt shit all over me.
Yeah. I wish I could have literally shit on you.
You did.
Yeah. What? Oh.
And I enjoyed it. No, it's dude, this movie, that was a hell of a fucking movie in the script. It's based on a true story. They sensationalized the fuck out of it. Because in real life, it's actually a triumph of due process. But in this one, they make it like the fucking people go vigilante against the KKK, which is much more gratifying.
Yeah, yeah.
But, dude, there are fucking scenes in this movie where it just lights the fucking thing on fire. Like, Gene Hackman and Willem Dafoe have differing... They're FBI agents, and they're investigating these murders in Mississippi. In the early 60s, and dude, like, everyone knows how fucked up it was, all this stuff, but it's the first time I've seen it where it was depicted like a horror film. Like, you see how it's a mass killing epidemic.
Yo.
And it's kind of like, that's really, like, seeing it through that lens was a little different. Anyway, it has, like, echoes of True Detective a bit.
Because that's what I'm picturing, yeah.
Yeah, these drastically different ways of doing things. And they get in this argument, and like Gene Hackman backhands him, and then fucking the other dude like shoves a gun in his face. And I rewound it and watched it like 3 times because like this is and they're great fucking actors.
Yeah.
And Defoe's real young. So That was on Amazon Prime. I think I might have rented it, actually. But another one I barely talked about last time. You know, I'm a big fan of bad movies. And the Postman is an all-time great bad movie, and I had not seen it since the 90s. This is one where, like, we were like 15 or 16 when that shit came out, probably. I'm thinking 97, 98.
That sounds about right.
Kevin Costner had lost his fucking mind because, as everyone knows, Dances with Wolves, he won over Scorsese for Goodfellas, and he won he won Best Director, Best Picture, and then just lost his fucking mind. Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves was a big hit. Then Waterworld cost $200 million and was fucking a Mad Max ripoff. And then he just went way fucking out there with The Postman. And it's about 3 hours.
Oof.
It's based on a book that probably is a lot better than the movie. It seemed like a lot more interesting. It's written by a UCSD alumni, actually, which was weird. Have you ever seen this movie, Jacob?
No. Oh, The Postman?
Yeah.
Oh, when I was a kid. Yeah, yeah.
Dude, they've got slow motion sequences of him delivering the mail. He's directing himself, so there's always that's always tricky, and he's in almost every single shot. He does some goofy ass fucking shit, and it's like only like someone in love with themselves would keep this. And it goes on and on and on. But then I'm like, it's admirable because they're shooting on location outside. There's no sound stages, and you're just seeing all the time and money spent on this fucking thing, and it's awful. It's an epic, and it's absolutely laughable. And Giovanni Ribisi is in it at the beginning. And big surprise, he plays a disabled dude.
Damn. Now, what is that? What is that about with him, man?
I don't know because I didn't remember that, and I was like, now I think I'm onto something.
And now he's all obsessed with cameras and cinematography.
You know what's crazy? Even in movies that like he isn't playing a mentally deficient person, he kind of
like an avatar.
He
the Unobtainium.
That I watched fucking what did I watch recently? Oh, Boiler Room. I watched Boiler Room with Vin Diesel, Giovanni Ribisi, and I go, is he doing a bit right now? Like is he kind of like being like doing like the other sister shit right now? And it's kind of wild, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
He spent like
does that in Boiler Room?
Yeah, he does.
I think I might have I think maybe
did you crack the code?
I mean, I think he does it even in like fucking Ted. I think he's even like,
yeah,
everything he does, yeah,
yeah. I mean, in this one, he's full bore, like, blah, 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 blah. Like I'm not fucking around. Jeez. He does that. He
Fly
does
to that. The Phoenix.
The Postman though is all time fucking great bad movie, and Sophia was not on board for the first 30 minutes. Then she's looking at her phone. Then she started looking it up, like, what? And then like by the end of it, she's like laughing her ass off. Tom Petty's in it. It's fucking crazy, dude. You remember that movie, Jorge?
Vaguely.
Okay. It's
something. Oh, Giovanni Ribisi, Scientologist. Well, surprise.
He's been audited one too many times, right? Xenu got to him.
dude, fucking Giovanni Ribisi disability, if you Google it, the AI overview is Giovanni Ribisi does not have a disability, but has acted in a film.
In multiple films. That's great.
That's crazy.
The other sister, dude. Thank you again, both of you, for the physical copy I have.
Yeah.
I have it at home on my
shelf. I bought all the copies at Book Off.
I have it on a shelf with my Steven Seagal VHS collection with Batman and Robin, with Mazes and Monsters with Tom Hanks. And all sorts of gems like that.
I feel like it would be too offensive, but I almost want to do a series of shows on otherwise mentally non-deficient people playing mentally deficient people.
That's what I would love to do. And now I want to do it all meta though, where we would be defending like how woke of the people it is to do a show championing the thing where we're actually not, we're pretending that it's good.
Wow. Because we could do The Other Sister.
Mm-hmm. Music.
Music. Gilbert Grape.
Rain Man. Simple Jack.
Damn.
I mean, Simple Jack is not a movie.
Ooh.
And you know what we could throw in? We could throw
I Am Sam.
We could throw in,
which is the Simple Jack thing that it's parodying.
We got it. It's parodying. We can watch the fucking Nasia movie.
That's fucking music.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. That shit was great.
And then just as like a topper, we could do what the little people one.
Oh, that's the one that Snow you White. Said with Happy Gary Feet. Oldman.
Oh my God.
Snow White.
Snow White. Damn.
Yeah, dude. Everyone is united in the fucking hating on Snow White, dude.
It's good.
Leftist, conservative fucktards, racist, progressives, everyone.
We've all united in this.
Yeah. It's been some good TV recently. Severance, episodes 9 and 10.
I gotta watch it. I've been close to getting spoiler too many times.
Same. Okay. I'm like, I'm gonna drop my rewatch and just go to a recap and just watch the show.
I'll wait for you guys.
I've been so close. Like, people are like, me when I'm blah 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 at the end, and I'm like, you motherfucker, you better not.
That's me on Discord. I left like 7 memes. Like, nah, dude, I can't, for me and my taste, and well, for many people's taste, not like some secret fucking thing at this point. It's biggest show on, it's biggest streaming show.
You were a little bit hesitant in episode like 4 or 5 and 6, right?
I didn't know if it was going to go far into this Lost territory.
Yeah.
I didn't want it to go full Lost, and no, it is not. It is like gone way past conceptually even Black Mirror stuff while being a fantastic character piece. These last two, all I'll just say, man, like that fucking season finale, that's fucking pure. That was pure art, dude. And then it ended and it was fucking Ben Stiller. I was like, I'm watching Tropic Thunder right now. Because.
Just cause.
Yeah. The White Lotus continues to be a lot of fun. And it's much better than season 2. And if it keeps going where it's at, it's almost, it probably might even be better than season 1.
I got my mother-in-law on White Lotus and she's like, I don't know what's happening, but I'm here for it. I'm like, just hold on, baby.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, dude. It's fucking going places. And Patrick Schwarzenegger's on there. It's fun to see him. And then, that music, dude. Cristobal Tapia de Beer, whatever. The guy who does the smile score.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Did they do like the original theme song from the first 2 seasons also?
Yeah.
Okay.
And he does a different theme song for this season, and it's fucking dope.
So good.
Yeah.
Good.
And then Daredevil Born Again, I've been nerding the fuck out for.
I'm going to wait till everything's released on that because I don't want to. I just want to watch it.
Yeah. They released 2 episodes a couple days ago, episodes 5 and 6. I think there's going to be 9 episodes.
Yeah.
They showed this newer character from circa 2016, Muse, who's a fucking serial killer artist who paints murals like Banksy, but with people's blood, which is dope.
Oh, dude, that's so edgy.
It is. Mm. It's dope. Daredevil's good. He's got a good sandbox. Yeah. I think that's it.
Okay.
That's it, man.
Yeah, so, this has been a good, like, month for television. And because of that, and I'm not a TV guy at all, but I dropped everything and I didn't watch any movies and I've been kind of just overwhelmed with all the amount of shows I need to watch. So
I agree. Gold Rush has been fucking hitting out of the park.
Survivor is trending on TikTok and television's insane. So of all the stuff, like I have Severance season 2 to watch. I have White Lotus season 2 and 3 to watch.
2 suck.
Shit, really?
Yeah. Well, it's okay. It's worth
No one really talked about it.
There's a chick on there that's fucking gorgeous, dude. You know what I'm talking about?
Season 2?
Oh, yeah.
Let me look. Shogun, I still got to finish it. So I started from the beginning and got to the same part where I stopped last time. So I'm like, fuck, I just got to get over this hump and finish it.
Yeah. I have no excuse for not finishing
it. But out of all the shows that are out to watch, I ended up, because I'm, even though I'm 10 years late to the party.
Oh, that one.
10 years late to the party, I decided, because you were talking about Daredevil Born Again, and I did watch the first episode of Born Again because my dad was watching it, and I was like, holy fuck, it's awesome.
Yeah.
Benson and Moorhead directing it, which is great. And
yeah, thank you for mentioning that.
The technical stuff. Yeah, the technical stuff is incredible in Born Again. I'm really impressed. They actually, and then going back, so it's kind of like you watch this first episode, huge spoilers for someone who hasn't watched it like me, but I decided to do like this whole Tarantino it, and now I'm going all the way back 10 years.
You wanted
years
to
earlier.
Be sold on it.
Yeah, yeah. And now I am, so I'm watching the Netflix shit. It's on Disney+. I'm starting from season 1. I'm 6 episodes in, and I'm loving the shit out of the show. I knew it was Daredevil and Punisher were very solid Netflix Marvel stuff. I just never got around because it's a show. I just don't do TV that much.
Yeah.
So I'm into it. I really am. And Courtney's into it too. She was just listening in the background while she's reading, and now she's completely engrossed in it like I am. And it's been fun. Yeah. So
yeah, and it's, you and I had talked about it before too, but Drew Goddard is involved in the first season, which is fucking pretty crazy. Mm-hmm. It goes through season two, is when they introduce the Punisher and Elektra, and you've been reading the comics.
Yeah, I started getting it.
Fucking, it's great.
I got this whole like all or nothing thing, so it's like I can't watch like one episode a night. It's like I got to do like these stretches where I'm like going to do like 3 to 5 episodes.
I think you might find season two like very easy to binge because of the Hand, Punisher, Elektra.
Yeah.
And I think that one, there's more than 9 episodes. I think it's like, it actually goes on a little too long, but it's a good problem to have.
Awesome. Yeah. I've only read one graphic novel, Daredevil, because that was a blank spot. I'm not familiar with Daredevil. So I read Frank Miller's Man Without Fear, which is very directly inspired the first season. And it was fantastic. Was it John Romita Jr.? I liked his artwork in this era.
Yeah.
It's really cool. It feels very, very Frank Miller also.
You know? There's a graininess and a, not like a messiness,
but a little bit grounded. Yeah. I liked it a lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
And then like when I was younger, I didn't understand all the stuff about Romita, honestly. And then like you realize like, well, you have to decide how you're going to represent the angle and stuff. Like it's kind of like a director visually in certain parts in certain ways, right? Even though there's a script to follow of sorts.
Yeah, it feels like he was being directed by Miller.
Yeah,
his art style on it. But I liked it a lot. I read that in the 5 issues in one sitting. It was great.
Yeah,
dude.
But that's it though. It was just Daredevil and a little bit of a Shogun, and I watched half of Roadhouse because Courtney's never seen the original Roadhouse.
The Patrick Swayze one?
Yeah, because she loves Dirty Dancing. Trash. One of her favorite movies. So I was like, you want to see a Patrick Swayze movie? And she was like, okay, it's kind of grounded in reality. And then it just like ramps up and just keeps going, and then it's a full on action movie. And she was like, what the fuck am I watching?
It's one of whose favorite movies?
No, I'm sorry. It's just one of those movies that's just fucking crazy. Dirty Dancing.
It rips a dude's throat out.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the claim to fame.
But how it starts, dudes. You would never think the movie would go in this direction.
It is absurd.
Yeah.
It's
I like it. I've always been a fan of it since I was like a young teen.
Yeah, you know but what?
Yeah. Courtney was a fan of Dirty Dancing, so I had to show her some other Swayze stuff. I got to show her Red Dawn next.
Sophia didn't grow up watching Dirty Dancing. And I tried to like introduce it to her, and she was like,
"It's too late."
It was too late, yeah, and I was, I'm actually kind of glad, but also I was like, I kind of want to see him like pick her up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, no one puts baby in a corner.
Oh, that's the line, dude.
That's the line, dude. It's like Romulus, dude.
It's like Wicked, dude. Like you watch the movie, and it's like half of the book.
That's what happens in the book, though.
Yeah,
the book cuts off halfway through.
It ends like right at the half.
Well, that's what happens in the book. The book ends in the halfway point. So they adapted the
first half. But it ends at the half, and then it's like a hanger.
He fucking was saying that before he saw the movie, too. You know what I mean?
Ugh.
He didn't understand that the movie was half of the book.
Oh, speaking of, you know what I mean? It's almost Jordy Greep time, boy.
It is. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? You know what I mean? In May.
Sheesh. And we got April, we got Horse the Band.
Wait for fucking Horse the Band, man. I'm so excited.
Speaking of which, I wanna get this out of the way. I'll confess right here on air. I messed up a little bit. Deaf Heaven has a new album coming out on the 28th, which is tomorrow. At midnight. Oh! Uh-huh. This album is going to be pretty fucking good. I got tickets to see them at the Belasco. And they're with a band called Gatekeeper. And with a band called Trauma Ray. And it's on the same date as Horse the Band.
Damn you.
And you guys, and you love Horse the Band. And I listen to Spotify, and I think they sound very interesting.
It's a me band.
It's cool.
Nah, you don't like it.
Dude, I mean, did you already have a ticket?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Paul bought 4 of them. For us.
What am I going to do?
Sounds like you're going to the fucking Belasco, honestly.
If I'm being, it sounds kind of like I'm going
to
do that.
It sounds like you're going to Belasco.
Fuck, man.
We'll figure it out. Yeah.
Yeah, dude. And a week before that is Meshuggah with Cannibal Corpse and fucking Carcass. So it's like Cannibal Corpse, Carcass, Meshuggah, Deaf Heaven, Gate Creeper, Trauma Ray. I'm just going to go like, that's it, dude. That's it for me, dude. I'm going to come back all with my fucking Art the Clown tattoo. You know what I mean?
No.
And my purple talking head shirt.
No.
Oh, that
no.
doesn't go. I'm going to let it. Don't let Paul know. I'll let him know. I'll say I was sick or something.
You got to let him know so he can tickets, right?
Yeah, dude, that's why. Fuck, man. For some reason, I didn't know if you had a ticket or not.
Yeah. Well, because I originally said I wasn't, and then...
That's what I thought.
And he did have a ticket for me, so I had to say no, and then...
Maybe I'll try to find an alternate fucking... Well, dude, he's going to be like, wow, wow, wow. You know what I mean? It's going to be dope. It's going to be like... It's going to be dope.
Dude. Yeah, but you do that. You do that every time. Horse the Band is different.
Yeah, that's like... No, it is different. I don't do it every time. I don't fucking go to the same shows. This one is pretty fucking... This is the most metal month ever. April.
It's dope.
Anyway, I'll figure it out.
No, I mean, we know what you figured out. We know you're not going to Horse the Band.
I might.
No, you're not.
Maybe I should do both.
Yeah.
I'm going to make sure of the date.
I don't even know. I don't know anybody enough that likes Horse the Band to be like, hey, do you want to go see Horse the Band?
What?
Yeah, what there's no mean? One at the venue on the night of.
Who's like, does anyone got a spare ticket? You know, no
one's, there's not going to be anyone like that.
This is not a chat pile situation.
Yeah.
Is what you're fucking, saying.
Yep. The 19th.
All right. Well, we'll be right back. Not the good kind of nightmare either, dude.
The bad kind of nightmare?
The bad kind of nightmare. The kind where you can't even tell the future. Hey, guess what?
We're back!
We're fucking back, man.
Sometimes I forget I'm a host and I'm just watching YouTube.
No, don't fuck do it. That.
That's why I'm like, this is...
I have to pretend no one's watching me because if when I think like, oh, wow, Jacob's right there, I get all like...
You get all self-conscious about it?
Yeah, it's not a...
Self-conscious?
Yeah, man.
You know, I have to address a little bit of slander that you guys have laid down... Specifically you.
What?
You
what
said some I fucked up shit about the Dead Zone TV show, which I have actual problems with.
Dang, you watched it, huh?
I love that show.
I didn't know that it
was
existed.
A big show.
I fucking love that show.
I've been obsessed with, what's it called? Pluto TV.
Uh-huh.
Courtney and I, it's our favorite, like, before we
it's
go to
It's a good
bed.
Little app.
Yeah, and there's just fun, like, channels with just infinite episodes 24/7 of shit. And they have a No, it wasn't a Dead Zone channel, but it was a sci-fi channel and of 90s shit or early 2000s.
I can't get on board with you, man, because you were like, you said some shit, and I can't.
You were quiet about it.
I can't respond right now, because if I do it now, it might hurt
your feelings. I probably watched in the middle of a season, and I did watch like 2 minutes of it, but it was just weird. Like,
it's early 2000s TV.
Yeah, Anthony like, Michael Hall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can see how it's a great premise for a show, right? You could keep that shit going. It's got, I'm looking at this, 80 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And it was on USA
mm-hmm.
with Monk. Remember mm-hmm. that?
Yes.
You're all yes.
It felt like, of course. It felt like some little crime-fighting duo kind of like adventure hijinks shit, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Then what the fuck, dude?
I mean, I watched 10 minutes of it. I got to watch a full episode at least, yeah.
But maybe, actually, we're not talking about that.
He prefers that to what we're about to talk about.
No.
Well, I will say this. I did watch the show before I watched this movie,
yeah,
like ages ago.
Okay,
yeah. So I go into the movie thinking like,
yeah,
is it as good as the show?
Right, it's a bit of a different perspective.
So we watched 1983's The Dead Zone, directed by David Cronenberg, written by Stephen King and Jeffy Boehm, whoever the fuck that is, starring Christopher Walken, Brooke Adams, Tom Skerritt, Herbert Loam, Anthony Zerbe, Colleen Dewhurst, and Martin Sheen, magically.
Yeah. And he plays, it's weird, he plays like a populist guy who's drunk on power and could probably, like, you know, if he ever gets power, he could risk starting World War III.
He might could, dude.
That's weird. I'm glad that kind of thing doesn't happen.
Yeah.
It's almost impossible.
Globalists!
Yeah, dude, they did this movie and they're like, no way. Yeah. No way could this happen.
Yeah.
It was like me watching Manchurian Candidate, like, 2 days after Trump almost got shot to death.
Well, they did this movie and you're like, you know, we're running right to the thing here, right? But you're like, yeah, you need to kill that fucking guy because that would be bad. And it's like, oh, wait a minute.
Well, anyway. We're So, what do you think of The Dead Zone?
I'd only seen it once before. I mean, you guys all, you all two of you know that how I feel about the Cronenberg. It's a fucking atypical Cronenberg film in that he didn't write it. It's not one of the ones he wrote, like Existenz or Videodrome and stuff like that. Doesn't have, on the surface, his usual obsessions and stuff. On second watch and rewatch, I really like this movie. And I think it helps that you got Christopher fucking Walken in 1983, Christopher Walken.
Being fairly subdued.
Exactly. Like, he's actually, you know, people, it's easy to forget that Christopher Walken isn't just a meme.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when I watched The Deer Hunter, like, a few months back or a year ago, yeah. I mean, you know, he's a great actor.
And he's not range. Just a supporting actor.
Exactly. You know? And he's very well cast for this. I think his sensibilities match the material really well. I think Cronenberg does a good, like, workmanship job of, like, adapting someone else's material. The script is tight. I think it's really well structured. There's specific plot points. The stuff escalates. I can feel it's adapted from a book because there's some time jumps. Mm-hmm. One of them's very necessary, right? But it seems like they have to condense quite a bit.
Well, and also that first big time jump was really, really well done because it's not, you don't see on the screen like 8 years later,
no.
You just get fed the info from, you know, lines in the film, which is a good thing.
Like, what if we had him finding out while we find out?
Exactly.
Great fucking idea.
Yep.
And well executed on all fronts, right? And yeah, I don't think it's like, I don't want to say it's a stylish, it's not an over-stylized film, but you get little things of the signature style here and there, particularly where Cronenberg's able to lay into violence one or two times in his way. There's also a scene like he has a vision of some kids underwater, which is a simple thing and it's a quick thing, but it's an effective image.
There are two very Cronenberg scenes.
The bathtub.
That one and the bathtub.
The bathtub is very, and having the body flinch. It's like, thank you for making the body.
That is like a Cronenberg thing, right?
Yeah, it's fucking great. Like that, I mean, it means a lot to where it's placed and that, like, it sticks out in the rest of the movie. And he does this, he finds time for his sex thing. Like, she comes and has some sneaky sex with him. And I'm like, is this a dream? And it's like, no, this is like fucking people do this shit.
But I also love how intentional it is for her. She's like, that's it. Never again.
Yeah, not like today.
Yeah.
Like that one, like it hurts on a few levels.
Yeah.
And it's like, she could see, because at first I'm like, why are you even visiting him? Like, what the fuck are you doing? And then it's like, oh, she's not like an inhumane monster. Like, she didn't just close that part off to herself, but she can't just, you know, upend everything in life now.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah. I think it's fucking one of the better Stephen King adaptations that I'm aware of. And I know it's generally well-regarded, but you don't hear it in the conversation for horror movies that often.
Hmm.
It's got a good pedigree. Cronenberg, King, Walken.
There you go. What'd you think?
This movie fucks.
Yes.
I do like this quite a bit. It has been, I think, 30 years since I've seen it. Because I did watch a lot of the Dead Zone TV with... Dead Zone TV show, as like a early, you know, early teenager. And it, like that show, that pacing of the show was kind of what I was used to from like this like universe. So I go into it, and I'm like thinking, I'm like, well, like how many capers is he going to fucking solve this time around? But, you know, you've got, it's far more extended. Like you, he's not just solving like crime after crime after crime after crime. He's got the one, and then he's got the bigger one, and then he's got like this side mission that he does, and it's all really well done. And I super like this movie.
Nice, fuck yeah! This is a first time watch for me.
You hated it,
and I know my parents have been wanting me to watch this movie for a while. But what I didn't know was my mom. This is in her top 10 of all time. She is like a mega fan. The way she was talking about this film is this: she watched it like yesterday. She knows like every detail of this film. She's like a huge fan. I was like, what the fuck? It came out of nowhere. I didn't know she was that big. But my dad and my mom saw it opening night in theaters, date night and everything. And
I'm telling you, dude, we got to hang out with his parents one of these days.
You guys will definitely, one of these days, you'll for sure be invited to a barbecue. It'll be fun. Yeah. But
one of them Filipino barbecues.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Boy, plenty of food.
Come adobo on, chicken, dude.
Oh, a double chicken with the pan de sal.
A double chicken with the pan de sal, the lumpia, dude.
And the pan set.
A double chicken with the lumpia, the pan de sal, and the what's the other one?
Ponce,
and the little egg with the chicken in it.
No, we don't eat that.
Jeez,
that's gross.
The balut.
Fucked up.
Yeah, we don't eat balut.
Yeah,
we do if we're gonna watch some body horror, dude.
Nah, we don't eat that.
There you go.
Sorry, go on, man.
No, but this movie impressed the hell out of me. I'm glad I waited till now to like fully appreciate this film and like every facet of it. Like I love the screenwriting, the pacing of it is fucking great. I like how well structured and evenly paced out it is. And right off the bat, I love when a movie immediately, and I mean like immediately from the first note, like recognize a score that feels iconic. The Michael Kamen score.
Good dude. He's a good man.
Shit, man. It goes from just like subtle kind of spooky stuff to like just like hauntingly tragic. And
he also does scores for Lethal Weapon and Die Hard.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Fuck yeah. This movie is like filled with so many like gut punches and I love, because I don't know much about like early Christopher Walken stuff, you know, especially when him being a leading man. Like this in Communion is all I've seen when it comes to like leading man parts.
King of New York, dude.
That too, yeah. Okay, I've seen like most of that movie. It's true.
I haven't seen it.
The
that's Abel Ferreira, right?
Yeah.
I need to watch that shit. That's ridiculous.
Lawrence Fishburne's dope in that, dude. He's gangster as fuck. And Walken is so good, man. Like it's just gut wrenching. The whole like shocking 5-year pass, and every actor I feel like was perfectly casted and written. And I just couldn't believe that this one just completely went under my radar. And just talking about like late 70s, early 80s Stephen King novel adaptations. He had some short stories that were adapted in the same time period. But when we're talking about the first 5 Stephen King novels to be adapted in this order, Carrie, The Shining, Cujo, The Dead Zone, and Christine. Like,
not bad. Not a bad run.
Not a bad run,
for crazy. Sure. After that, it was like Children of the Corn. And
you got like
stuff.
Kubrick, De Palma, Cronenberg, Carpenter.
Holy shit, yeah. I think like right after this was Maximum Overdrive or something. But like,
dude, that shit fucks, bro.
Wow.
But man, what a good start.
Fucking Green Goblin ass truck.
Oh. Yeah.
It's good.
He looks that looks better than the mask in Spider-Man that Willem Dafoe wore.
True.
This is true. Yeah.
That truck is better than the entire Spider-Man trilogy.
Don't mess with it. Then part 3, yes. Then one, you're fucking, that's fucked.
As I get older, as we get older,
it gets worse.
It gets worse and it gets more true for me.
Okay. Rank your Raimi Spider-Man trilogy.
They're all shit.
You don't even know which is which.
They're all shit.
Which one? Who's the villain in part 2?
Doc Ock.
Okay, that's good. So that's number 1 for you.
No, it sucks.
What's number 1?
They're all equally ranked.
How are you going to say part 3 is equal to anything in 2 and 1?
That's what I'm saying.
That's fucked up, dude. Because when part 3 came out, it really fucked up my life. It was 2006.
Yeah, man.
I was fucking up my life, and it made it worse.
Yeah, well.
I was externalizing it yeah. to Spider-Man 3.
Yeah, yeah.
It yeah. was like, you know how people rely on astrology? Like, I was relying on what Spider-Man. Movies? Yeah, I was like, oh, Spider-Man 3 sucks. My whole energy is off. Like.
So, we've all been kind of watching, my God, what's Stephen the show?
King.
The Apple TV show.
Severance?
Severance.
Yeah.
Homegirl looks like 80s Helly.
Oh, yeah. She's a pretty lady.
I was like, I kept watching and I'm like, holy shit, that's Helly.
Does she?
She looks like Helly. She looks like fucking Helly, dude. She do.
Is that where you want to go with this conversation?
Yeah, dude? Sure. Yeah. Yes.
Who is she? What's her name? What's she all about? Brooke Adams, yeah. right? Is that the lady?
Brooke Adams.
Ooh, see, she's in Days of Heaven, Jacob. She's in a fucking Terrence Malick movie. That neither one of us have seen.
Oh, okay, good.
That's where. We did Invasion of the Body Snatchers. She's the lady in that.
Okay. Mm.
That's where I recognized her.
She's fantastic in this.
She is.
Yeah.
I fucking agree, dude. She does a great job. And she's not in the movie the entire time, but that's a good point. Like, almost every scene she's in is crucial. Well, go figure. It's well-structured, right?
Good stuff, man.
Yeah.
Nobody's overused.
Yeah.
Like, even Martin Sheen, who is, like, a fucking otherworldly in this movie, doesn't ever feel, like, overly, like, we're going to shove you, like, full of this motherfucker. He's like, this one scene, and then the end,
yeah.
and he gone.
And they nail it.
They nail it.
Absolutely, because I'm going in blind, and I'm like, okay, Martin Sheen's in this. I'm like, when is he showing up? And I'm like, you know, the whole second act is about him solving like a murder in the small town, and I'm like, okay, this is the main story, this is it. Yeah. And then I'm like, holy shit, that's just like one chapter of his life.
Yeah,
it's incredible.
Before I forget, because I want to get onto what you were just saying, but Brooke Adams, this lady, do you know who her spouse is?
Whomst.
To connect it back to USA Network in early 2000s,
it's gonna be hold on. Give it to me. It's going to be Homeboy from Baywatch.
Homeboy from Monk.
It's
fucking Tony Shalhoub.
No Damn. Way.
What the fuck?
What the fuck?
Damn. That's the dead zone right there. And this is it's great when the movie gets to say the title in dialogue.
Yeah.
And the doctor says, this is your dead zone. Which is like, oh, cool. Because I'm thinking the dead zone is where he's in a coma and he's exposed to like the nether realm long enough on some level of consciousness.
Or even initially you're like, oh, it's like he's protecting people from the death. Like,
right.
From their
and
death.
It works on either.
But like of those. The dead zone ends up being like that space that he's able to like predict and change history or the future, so to speak.
Right. And it's still not immutable.
Yeah.
Right. And that's fucking, and so it introduces that thematic thing, which is a common thing, and it's not like super sophisticated, but it's handled well. Like it's handled well, and it's not overly mentioned in dialogue, because it's crucial to his decisions. Like, what are you fucking with fate, or are you morally in the wrong for not fucking with fate? Right? Like, what's your justification either way? It's a catch-22. If you fuck with it, then you're messing with the natural order, if there is mm-hmm. such a thing. And if you don't, then you're allowing something fucked up to happen. You know? So it is kind of a catch-22 situation he's in. And then which they flesh out pretty well, right? There's there's the guy who wants to take the kids ice skating. And then you got Walken going full Walken, like, the ice is gonna break.
Dude, he smashes that vase like a maniac, man.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Yeah.
You want to get nuts?
Yeah.
Let's get nuts.
No Cal Mike, one of our listeners on Discord, posted the right GIF. I'm like, fuck, there's a GIF of this. Like, I did not know there's a GIF of this. Yeah. Of course there is at this point, right?
Well, the whole thing where, like, he is gaining, I guess, control over the power, the superpower, so to speak.
Yeah.
it never feels like he's enjoying it. It's always torture for him, which right. is such a cool, interesting concept when you're talking about being able to tell the future. Because like as a modern day person, you would be like, well, of course I would do good with this, right? Like I would fix things and it would be great.
Right.
But in the movie, he's tortured by the gift.
Right.
Which is awesome.
Well, it is awesome because it's constant conflict and tension, right? Like, and empathy, because you're like, yeah, it exposes yeah. it as a, it's not, I don't want to say a curse, but it's a fucking, it's a burden.
Yeah. It feels early, like peak Cronenberg, where like not a single line of dialogue is wasted in character development.
Yeah.
And that's just a testament to like the editing and the pacing and the writing and everything. It's fucking... I think it might be my favorite Christopher Walken film so far I've seen. I haven't seen like a lot of his early work.
Have you seen The Deer Hunter?
Yeah, I mean that's up there too. Yeah, okay, it's like this Deer Hunter and honestly Communion. You know, it's like a movie I still.
Dude, I don't understand people not liking
Communion. Courtney.
Like I know it's not. I mean, I don't even want to say it's not good. It's bizarre.
Courtney like wants to put that movie on. Like she's like it's one of her new favorites of all time.
It's yeah. fucking bonkers, dude.
She unfortunately Dead Zone did not. Over, you know, it's still Communion for her, but
yeah, well, good,
yeah,
because that's the good. Kind of movie where what his wife is wearing is bonkers. It's like, oh, look at her hat, this is fucking insane. Like, there's nothing, it's constant, it's a constant stream. But, so Dead Zone, to go back to what was mentioned a few minutes ago, the reveal that 5 years,
yeah,
by the way. By the way, was this a rental for you guys or was it on something?
It was on Pluto.
It was on Pluto?
That's what I did, Pluto.
I think I rented it. Don't you guys have to fuck with commercials on Pluto?
If I view it on a computer, I have ad blocker, so then there's no ads.
But on the app, it was three commercials the whole time?
They're very short. Pluto's
I hate chill. Fucking, with the... I don't know. I'm a goofball with that. But, okay, it's on Pluto. Or you can, of course, rent it. Yeah, like you guys said, that reveal, and it's a good fucking point. Like, he finds out when we find out. And then, like, we've seen this kind of, not shtick, but this thing before. But I wasn't anticipating it would be that big a jump. And mm-hmm. and it's like, it is devastating when you find out.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
It's he like, goes, it's been 5 years. It's like, oh, fuck.
And James Cameron saw that and was like, I'm going to make it 86 years. in cryosleep.
Yeah.
See ya.
Yeah. Which is a good fucking trick.
Yeah. You know? Well, he wakes up and, you know, he's like, my mouth is dry. And it's like, okay. Okay. Yeah. What's happening? It's been 5 fucking years and your mom's demented now.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. And they throw, I mean, that part in there too. Like, you know... These are things that actually happen. It's not supernatural, you know. It's like dementia happens and comas happen, and there's a lot of mysterious stuff there, and a lot of, like where was he for 5 years? Not the body, but his, you know, yeah. He woke up. Like, okay, who woke up? Like, where was he? You know, and it's still very mysterious. I know you're looking at me like, no, it's not Ray. He was asleep. But I'm saying, you know, like that's a long fucking time for a personality to resurface.
Yeah.
You know,
it definitely feels like, I mean, it's obviously very Stephen King in its approach, but it kind of feels kind of comic booky. You know, it's kind of superhero-ish.
Yes.
And I do love how they portray his powers. It's very simple. It's not overdone with the effects. And I love him being like placed into the scenes and the flashbacks and some sequences. And particularly, I actually love that World War II flashback. I wasn't expecting like a big, lavish like World War II set and everything.
That was surprising.
Talk about like just a huge, you know, I'm sure dump of a budget just for 5 seconds, you know?
Yeah.
Really impressive.
Well, because you know that scene in particular was probably filmed over like 4 days.
Right,
yeah. You know, it's all practical effects. They've got explosions and tanks.
Probably like...
Jeeps and shit.
Well, 10 pages in Stephen King.
And it's a testament to King, probably King directly himself, but also just like we talked with Cell, like he takes a, like, oh, cool, this guy can touch someone and find it and see how they're going to die. It's like, no, that's not all he sees. He can see if someone's mom is still alive 50 years later.
Yep.
Like, this is, there's a lot of intricacies to it.
Well, this is King at his, like, probably most coked out. So like these, yeah, that's what I mean. Like these ideas that he's coming up with are like, that's drug addled brain going on right here. And then we have Cell.
And then it's like they got, dude, you know what? You're right too. The Castle Rock killer.
Mm-hmm.
Like we do get, even though it's not like the series, like you said, you do get a couple, you get quite a few. You get the ice skating thing, which he prevents, at least partially.
Yeah, a couple little homies still die.
And the guy doesn't want to answer the phone because he's fucked forever.
He knows, yeah. He's like, oh, shit.
Yeah, like that's... Well, because what would that mean? It's not just I made a mistake. It's like my whole idea about reality is completely off.
Also, that moment where the kid goes, it's not me that's in the box. It's my dad. Right. It's like, fuck, dude. Like, he's got it. He's got that shit figured out.
Oh.
When he goes to visit the kid.
Yeah,
and he goes, hey, like your dad wanted me to, you know, meet you and, you know, talk about like, you know, why you're so close in. He's like, well, it's not me, it's him.
Yeah,
he's like, fuck yeah, dude.
It's pretty good.
It's him.
Mm-hmm. The Castle Rock killer, which is Castle Rock. Tell us about Castle Rock.
Well, Castle Rock is one of the towns in Stephen King's like universe, along with Derry. It's just like one of his like locales.
Eugene, Oregon.
Yeah, not really.
Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Cleveland, Ohio.
God damn.
No.
It's your favorite band, dude.
Yeah, so he frequents Castle Rock.
He does.
You remember the fucking film company in the early 90s? It was Castle Rock
the Lighthouse.
What the fuck was that? Was that his?
Probably. It was probably something.
I would hope.
Yeah, it was a play on that shit for sure, yeah.
Anyway, so that's cool. I thought it was cool that they have a straight up killer for Castle Rock in this. And then, oh, the scenes in the gazebo. Like, because Christopher Walken has to look at air and fucking act. Like, so he's totally like immersed in the role, like you're saying, you know?
Oh, yeah, it goes full like hard-boiled detective shit when he's teaming up with Tom Skerritt as the local sheriff.
Tom Skerritt's in there.
Like I was saying, I thought this was going to be the main plot, and it's just one of the acts, and it's fucking awesome. I didn't think he'd be like using his powers in this capacity in this film.
Yeah, and again, like they find room to reincorporate his ex and have that a really tender, heartbreaking, kind of sexy scene. No, but then she like straight up, dude, like she straight up brings the baby.
Yeah.
And she's like, he's asleep. And I'm like, what the fuck's happening right now?
She's like making him feel like, this, you know, they're a family, right?
Yeah. Like there's a lot, and stays for dinner, doesn't she? And gives him that day that like he never thought would happen again.
Yeah.
You know? And then, okay, so this is something interesting. Like, do you guys, I guess a good entry point. In the end, she happens to be supporting the populist fucking politician guy, Martin Sheen.
Of course.
Right. So when you say, of course, do you think that's a contrivance? Or do you think that's kind of built in, baked into the whole thing about why this happened to him?
Well,
you get what I mean? Like the universe created a counterpoint for self-preservation of the species. Right. Like, of course she's connected to the situation because that's how he has proximity to it.
So I...
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yes, it does. Yeah. I was listening to a podcast the other day about, like, you know, charismatic people and how, like, you know, sometimes you'll meet somebody and they'll kind of, like, take up the whole room and they'll like, when you talk to them, it feels like you're the only one that they're talking to. Like that's the relationship that they've like established with people. And I like Martin Sheen's character is like on the front end of things, a very charismatic person who's almost seems magical in that moment where he's like, you know, it's, and we're going to fucking take, we're going to take Delaware. We're going to take Alabama.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
That's that same energy, right?
Yeah.
I
was not expecting him, his voice.
Yeah,
dude.
And then when they like hard cut to that scene where you don't really know what's going on and he's threatening a reporter And it's like, holy shit, man. Like, they're not like kind of, they're not mincing what they're saying here. They're like, this guy is corrupt as fuck and is willing to squash like actual fact from being, you know, like what's going to be his downfall.
And again, I'm glad that that would never happen.
Dude, exactly.
I was a little baked watching it, and my head canon, I really thought I was onto something. I thought Martin Sheen, because very Stephen King, that like in some of his more supernatural stories, there's he comes across other characters, antagonists with the same powers, you know, like this person also is a, shines. I thought Martin Sheen could all had the same power as Christopher Walken, and I thought it was like Tenet, where he's like, he's so many steps ahead, well, and he can see the future.
I think,
and I thought he was like playing his game and stuff, and that's why he was gaming the system to, because he thought he could control the world at some point.
I don't think you're actually that far off from what I was kind of suggesting, which is that, like Jorge said, like charisma again is kind of a mysterious thing. Not entirely. There's you know, you could break it down to chemistry and you know, subconscious cues and voice modulation and all sorts of shit and pheromones, and you break it, you'd still be like measuring fucking abstracts though, right? Mm-hmm. So it's a hard thing to put your finger on, but it is kind of like a magical thing in and of itself. It is kind of like a charisma is a power.
That's true.
And and so what would
he felt like a comic book supervillain.
Yeah, what would be produced in nature to counteract that kind of charisma if it was throwing off the natural order of stuff, right? And I'm not talking about, like, we don't need to talk about God or stuff, but it's in the screenplay. Like, it wasn't meant to be in the natural order, and if he makes a decision, then he's fucking with fate, and if he doesn't make a decision, then he could possibly, if he doesn't make a decision, he could also fucking be fucking with fate, because you do exist, and you do know this is going to happen. Right, so yeah, I think it's like, I'm glad they didn't go there with it, but yeah, I think he is kind of like the inverse of Christopher Walken's character.
That's true, yeah.
And you get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Because he's committed to a complete, instead of like seeing the future, he has a sense of seeing the future, but it's based upon like commitment to a vision, better or worse. Like, he's committed to a personal vision, and the vision he sees is him running the fucking world.
Yeah,
and he's moving quickly towards that future, and he's got all the momentum, right?
Yeah.
And it's self motivated. It's not because like he has this burden of being able to see outcomes. So Christopher Walken has the dead zone.
He is the dead zone.
He is the dead zone. Instead of
Lisan al Gaib, dude.
He's Lisan al Gaib. Instead of like, I'm fucking forcing this to happen, he's like, this was forced upon me. He's like Jesus, dude.
He looks good with that coat.
Oh, hell yeah. The dude, the fucking, with the collar?
Yeah.
It looks good.
Pop that shit up.
Yeah.
Dude, when Homeboy, the Castle Rock killer put on that leather jacket, I was like, oh, shit. Okay. Yeah.
That was dope.
That's dope.
Oh, we got to go to that. The kill scene. So he gets the scissors and fucking, even when he's like setting up the scissors, like, that's fucked up. It was like, and Sophia loved this movie, by the way. Mm-hmm. You said Courtney liked it too, right? Yeah, she fucking loved it. Like, after like 10 minutes, she's like completely immersed.
Yeah, Courtney's like reading her book, and next thing you know, she put it down, and she's like, this, like, how did we sleep on this fucking movie, you know?
Yeah, dude. But yeah, that kill was very, that was very Cronenberg. He got one in there.
He pushes his own head down with his hands. He's like,
yeah, dude. That's great. I'm sorry. And then his body fucking jolts. Because it's like, dude, like, you got to do the jolt.
He's not dead yet.
Yeah, man. You're just fucking central nervous system. You're just wires and shit. Like, you got to jolt, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, we like that. What else? What did you think of the doctor? Was he was Polish, right?
Yeah, because he said Prost. Mm. So he's,
I like it. He's that. You know, that character that helps navigate the person's powers, you know? Like I said, I keep going back to it, but it feels very comic booky.
No, it is. Sense. No, yeah. He's like the mentor figure.
Yeah.
Right? In the hero's journey type deal. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. He's Morpheus. Not exactly, but
yeah.
Even in Scanners, you have like the Patrick McGoohan's character, the doctor who freaking helps him navigate the stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very, it is kind of pulp fiction. No, it is kind of comic booky like that. In a cool way.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else? What else we got here? Oh, the scene, though, where he sees, like, the whole deal about him fucking pushing the button.
Yeah. With the handprint and the whole deal.
Yeah, that's real early for that, too, for 83. Yeah. Like, that was a nifty-looking prop. Well,
that was at the back end of the Red Scare, man. Like, you know, when we thought...
It felt very much that, yeah.
Well, I'm glad that we still don't have our nukes pointing at each other.
There's no chance that a current U.S. president would have any sort of collusion with the Soviet
Union. And we stopped pointing nukes at each other a long time ago.
No chance. There's no way that we would have an oligarch in power who has unelected officials doing things. There's no fucking way.
Yeah.
No fucking way.
Yeah. And he would appeal to the working man.
Right.
Because he knows that most of the country is disenfranchised working men.
Yeah. But and like ends up fucking over the working man because like the working man is in these positions where, you know, they would need like government assistance. Yeah. But like, no.
There's a bunch of useful idiots. Like that's literally what they call them is a useful idiot.
Yeah.
It's a bummer.
No, what bummer? What? It doesn't
Where's happen. Our Christopher Walken? Where is our dead zone? Who's gonna stop him? Where the ice is gonna break? Where is he?
We need a last scene rifle.
I mean, something like that almost happened. They probably thought they had the dead zone.
Yeah, but no. Something like that was written, and they said, "Let's do the thing, but don't hold up a baby." You know what I mean? And make sure you say, "Get up and say fight."
Fight. Ah, my ear was blown off. But no, it was just like God nicked damn. By a piece of glass. Ah, fight.
I wish that would solve the problem too, but it wouldn't.
You just have fucking dumbass J.D. Vance.
And he's got 40 more years to go.
Ugh.
And he can make complete sentences.
Yeah.
It's fucking bad news.
It's bad news for all of us.
They're going to have AOC. AOC's got to get up there, you know what I mean? That's good. that's gonna be what. Anyway,
this is actually would be a fucking great companion piece with the Manchurian Candidate, though.
Yeah, dude. Absolutely. Oh, speaking of which, yeah. Thanks, man. Good point. Yeah. There was a bit of that like undercurrent there too.
Yeah, that whole third act, the finale, the way it builds up, the music. My palms were sweating. I was like, holy shit, man.
Well, because I'm sorry to fucking like I'm reading this book, which is called Programmed to Kill. It's what's called parapolitics.
Okay.
And it's these theories. Well, it's linking.
Sounds like you're on a watch list right now for reading it.
Probably.
Yeah.
But I mean, fucking okay.
That's dope.
Meanwhile, this fucking dude's in office doing his shit, like whatever. And then it's on Amazon. You can get it. It's fucking super interesting.
It's not a niche thing.
No, it's not. Especially not now. And also, fucking QAnon's all about it. You know, they just think it's all fucking Democrats. No, but the idea though is it's linking MK Ultra to serial killers, and that some of them might actually be programmed killers. And likewise, I got to it by backwards because I was considering the active shooting situation and how convenient that might be for political things and so forth. And if there ever was such a thing as a Manchurian Candidate or anything close to it, which we know there was at least a lot of money and time spent on investigating that for at least a couple decades, which means probably up till now, because they didn't admit that till they got caught, and then they're like, oh, we stopped. Like, okay, I can trust you. You get what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I'm sure you found nothing. That's why you kept doing it for 20 years. Anyway, though, like, yeah, when you look at this movie, like in the subtext, man, you've got a guy who's got kind of some remote viewing type situation and some clairvoyance. Mm-hmm. And he ends up fucking making an assassination attempt.
Although I don't know if it was an actual assassination attempt. I think he was just like
trying to alter the trajectory.
Yeah.
Nonetheless, what it will be in posterity. Yeah. No, I get what you're saying. Yeah. You don't think he would have gone through with it if he hadn't held
no,
up?
No, I think he was
He
just,
knew the guy's character.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the baby fucking ruined it.
Or...
I mean, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, and it's also, wasn't that her baby?
Yeah.
Which is great.
That's a little homie.
That's what I mean. There's too much symmetry for it to just be pure contrivance, I think. You know what I mean? But yeah, man. The freaking, you know, it's like when you watch these movies like that, now I'm like constantly like, wait a minute. Because it doesn't matter if it's intentional or not anyway, because it would start to fucking have like echoes of a possible situation. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Dude, you got to watch JFK, dude.
I want to. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's
man.
The next one.
It's time for the left to take back conspiracy theories. Like, now that we're in the opposition party, can we take that back now? Like,
yeah.
it's fucking bullshit.
Like, cool conspiracy theories.
Though. Yeah. And also, can you consider, like, neurology is a burgeoning field, and they've found out a lot of shit, and people are surprisingly, shockingly programmable. Like, it's very disconcerting what can be done with dissociative identity disorder and alters. Mm-hmm. Like, it's very fucking not good. Mm-hmm. But anyway.
All right. Well, that's the Dead Zone.
Program to Kill.
There you go.
Pretty cool.
I recommend. So this is like the end of like a little oddball set of Stephen King stuff. We did Cell on the pre-show.
Yeah.
We did Monkey Shines. No, what was it? The Monkey. Last episode. Monkey.
Yeah. Night Flyer.
Night Flyer, which was a king pick from the king of our Patreon, Hans. Thank you for that. And then, did we do one before that?
No, I think
that's what kicked it off?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was an accidental Stephen King thing.
Yeah, I'm glad we did Dead Zone, though.
Yeah, that was fun.
Dope.
All right, we'll be back next week to talk to you about something. I don't know what. This is Jorge signing out.
This is Jacob.
This is Ree.
Bye, idiots. Wait, you already said it?
I already said it.
Oh, bye, Sophia. There we go. Now, okay.
I'm not going to worry wrinkles in my brow. Nothing's ever going to be all right, no how. No matter how I struggle and strive, never get out of this world alive.